The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. I really don't want to preach this homily this weekend, but the Holy Spirit is really directing me to talk about this certain topic. In fact, if I didn't preach this homily, I would probably be violating my conscience. This week has been one of the most difficult for our church here in the United States. To put it mildly, the church is in a crisis. In fact, this whole summer has been one thing after another. One month ago, it was brought to light that the former Cardinal McCarrick of Washington, D.C., abused young people and rose to the ranks in the College of Cardinals. The church in Chile, Central America, Ireland, has been greatly affected by the abuse scandal. And now this week, the grand jury report in Pennsylvania, over 1,300 pages, on the neglect, failure, and cover-up of bishops in almost all of the dioceses in Pennsylvania. A failure to report predator and criminal priests. There are no words to describe this. Systematic child abuse, neglect, crimes, all to protect reputations. The reputations of individuals and the reputation of the church. What should be our first reaction to this? Outrage. Absolute outrage. The institutional church has failed you. Bishops and priests not living their lives dedicated to Christ. I'm outraged. Furious. As you read the reports, and as you read that Pennsylvania report in particular, you see a church that is truly sick, even delusional at times. People come up here to the altar, proclaiming the Word of God, receiving the Eucharist, saying all these good things, doing these good things, the sacraments. And then behind the shadows, doing the unspeakable. But in that report, you see again, constantly worried about its own image, obsessed, going in circles, constantly obsessed. And when the church, or really any institution, begins to close itself off, it just becomes a leprosy that just grows and grows. But when we see the church as just an institution, and it is an institution, but if we see the church just as an institution, things are going to spiral out of control. This week I've asked myself a few questions. What is the church? Is it an institution? Is it a community? Or is it all these things? I asked myself that when I put the Roman collar on this week. As the people of God, we should always focus on our relationship with the Trinity. All of our church structures point, or should point, to the Trinity. But as we see in church history sometimes, even right now, we see a church that is sometimes too focused on maintaining relationships and appearances with popes and bishops and wondering what the outside world thinks about us. In the end, the church is not just an institution, but the church must see beyond itself as a servant, as a community of grace that is built upon Christ. And that is our source, Jesus Christ, not clerical offices. The church can't exist for its own sake. If the church exists for its own sake, then it's failed. And the church has committed the sin of sacrilege to this world. It is no coincidence that today our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And Paul is telling us to not hide, to not cower in fear, but instead your whole life, it's out in the open, whether you like it or not. Your whole life is out in the open. And it's meant to be examined and lived out to its fullness. There are no secrets with God. The first sentence, very clearly, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. You, as a member of the church, have been given such a great task since the moment of your baptism, to share your friendship and relationship with Jesus Christ. Clearly, many in our church have failed to live out that command from Paul. If you love your church, speak up. If you love the church, you must call out the cancer or the sin that has taken place among the leadership. And why do we do this? Not for revenge or to make ourselves feel good, but we do this because we love the church, and the church is much, much bigger than an institution. But let's not forget how St. Paul concludes his letter today. To give joy. To be that prophetic voice in the church. To always give thanks in the name of Jesus. In the Gospels, Christ encountered the constant messiness and disorganization of the institutions of his time. We know that God is much bigger than all this. And this is why we speak. This is why we lovingly challenge the church. Dare I even say to drag the church out of its small-mindedness and constant worries of reputation. But how will the church respond? Will the leaders of the church be like Judas, who get up during the Last Supper and walk away? Or maybe some church leaders will be like St. Peter, who finally confirms that, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. Yes, Jesus, there's nowhere else for me to go. We are especially right now, my dear friends, to be like Jesus. Because from all of his teachings and miracles and works, Jesus always demanded action. Jesus always demanded decisions from his disciples. Right now, questions hang over the church. This is not the time for the church leadership to be passive. Concrete actions are needed for transparency. And they've been needed for years, to be honest with you. You and me, as the pilgrim people of God, we await an answer. Allow me to end my homily with this. There is something that will never change in our church. Our church, which is made up of sinners and saints. And this is something that no corrupt or hypocritical cardinal can change. This is something that no weak and passive bishop can change. This is something that not one filthy priest who commits these abuse crimes can change. And that is that the bread of life endures in our churches. The Eucharist forces us and the church to move beyond ourselves and to look at Jesus' suffering in the victims of sexual abuse and do what we can to help them and even us to experience his resurrection in all of our lives. The resurrection, which is his last word to the pain, suffering, and betrayal of the world. The church has to do this. It must do this.